All right, I'm just going to do a little induction. Good morning, everybody. We're going to get started here. My name is John Orlowski. I'm the, I guess, former chair of the Applied Soybean Research Community. And last year at our business meeting, we had an idea. With applied research, you know, a lot of times, you know, agronomists, you look at yield, but what matters to a farmer isn't really yield, it's money. So we had the idea, let's invite some really good ag economists down and have them teach us some new ways so we can quantify, you know, what we do economically. So we got four really good ones here. Guys, just, you know, say a little bit about what yourself, what you do, where you're from, background and all that. And thank you all for coming. So we'll get started. We got Chuck Moss from University of Florida.
Well, this is an interesting case. I finally sat down and looked at the agenda because Gary Schnitke went to school with my wife. Mike and I, Mike, I was about 2 years senior to at Purdue, so in some sense, I don't know Mitchell, but the rest of us, this is kind of old home week. I teach at the University of Florida. I basically, they say, well, what do you teach? Well, I teach production economics and mathematical statistics or econometrics. But kind of in some ways, it's old school stuff. You know, Mike and I were just talking about this. Ag econ departments, there used to be two things we knew we could do. We would teach you something about production and supply, and we'd teach you something about demand. And whenever you hired an ag economist, you could be sure they'd know those two things. Nowadays, we're not as sure. We've kind of dropped these things from our schedule. Most of the research I'm going to talk about today is an outgrowth of a paper that, if you want a cite to it, email me and I'll give you a cite, that appeared in the Ag Bio Forum. And the question in the Ag Bio Forum at that time was, there were two sorts of GM innovations, one of which was nitrogen enhancement, the ability to get corn to use nitrogen more efficiently, and the other was drought tolerance. And so the question at that time was that, which one had value, or did one have more value than the other? And a lot of GM crops, from my standpoint, are mostly risk reduction. They reduce either pest pressure, or they reduce the incidence or the cost of treating weeds. But basically, what's an economist interested in? And this is praxeology. I'm interested in why people make the production decisions that they do. Now, yeah, I could ask that in a normative way, you know, how are these the right decisions? The other way is that sometimes we get ourselves talking about what are the changes, what implications does R&D have on these changes? And this gets into the group with the GM crop. Now, I like these barcodes sometimes. Typically, historically, ag economists have taken a really simple view of production functions. Production functions being a black box. We observe inputs coming in, we observe a production function, and we observe outputs coming out. Now, a lot of economists, ag economists like Chambers, are fond of saying that we're not engineers, I have very little to say about F. What I'm really interested in is what shapes of this input-output relationship make it possible for people to optimize so that I understand the decisions that they make. So what I'm looking for is this smooth monotonic space. Well, the problem with the production function is that there are these confounding factors. So there's not only the controllable inputs, the X1 and the X2, there's a lot of uncontrollable or state inputs that simply exist. And we do a grievous damage to the production functions when we simply subsume these terms into the error term of the function. So what I'm going towards is what I'd say is a more realistic view of the production function. So what I'm looking at, and we'll talk about the deltas are either what you would term objects, if I'm looking at it from a programming language standpoint, or functionals, if I'm looking at it from a mathematical standpoint. So the idea is that I have inputs, but the inputs only partially affect the output, because within, say, any piece of farmland, there is a certain level of nutrient flow that's based upon the decay of the parent material, and most ag econ people that I've talked to over the years really want to sit down and think about this. But also from that standpoint, I'm interested in output state space. And output state space being that given one set of decisions, given these uncontrollable factors, there are various levels of output that will exist with some probability. And it's this dispersion of output state space that's probably as useful as the standard average of the production function itself. Okay, now I want to think about these functionals. So I can call it a functional. What I have is I want to work on this thing. If I look at nitrogen available to the plant, I'm looking at nitrogen available to the plant as a function of some background characteristics of the soil, an action like a level of fertilizer, and a random event like a rainfall or something to that way. Now, the idea is then what would my economic decision look like? Well, my economic decision is usually the marginal product of my action, the derivative of my output, or how does my output change as I change the input. Well, now that derivative is a function of the interaction of my action with the soil type. Now, do I assume that's one for one or not? Okay, so I can look at this and put them together and have a much more complicated form of the production function itself. So now my production function is not only a function of my action, which is X, it's also a function of the background characteristics of the soil, which is tau, and a random event, which is I. Okay, now, what's the problem with this? Well, statistically, there's a great problem with this. Now, historically, when we've dealt with these data, our solution has been going to random or fixed effects models, or stochastic frontier analysis. I'm going to propose something just a little different. So, what kind of a difficulty does this impose on us when we start doing our work? So I don't know where it was. I thought the original call was soybeans. So I used the soybean data set. And I tried to fit what we call a viable production function on a soybean data set using a standard translog production function. We say translog, it's a class of a flexible functional form that allows an approximation around some finite point, okay? And we want this functional form to be increasing and concave around some relevant point. There's the results. Boring coefficients. Let me talk about what it really means. From an economic standpoint, I wanted the marginal product to be positive around the geometric mean, and I wanted the function to be concave. Well, guess what? I got neither. I would like to say that this is an exception, but in applied work, it tends to be the rule. So the question is, what do we do about it? Standard excuses. The first bit is, you know, kind of like the Sergeant Schultz from the old Hogan's Heroes. I see nothing, I know nothing. I don't know why farmers choose the level of fertilizer they choose. Well, an advance no comment. The second thing I can do is, if the facts do not conform to theory, the facts must be disposed of. Mike will tell you, I know of some awfully large numeric sledgehammers, and I can make this thing obey. Okay, the other thing that comes up is my major prof used to tell me that if I torture the data long enough, it will confess to something. Okay, so are we satisfied with any of those, or maybe there's something more general or better? So at the outset, what I'd like to say is that doing work that the background, that the theoretical derivation that I've just been through basically says that estimation of a production function using any set of aggregate data is seriously flawed. And in the text that will go with this, if someone wants the email, I will give you the text that goes a little bit farther into that. it says even at micro level data, we have to attempt to address the changes in soil characteristics. The old, good old R.A. Fisher randomized. There's some work being done from this with one of Gary's colleagues at Illinois. Bruce Bullock is working on a field trial where they actually have one large cornfield, and they're trying to randomize to get at a basic production function. Okay, the alternative is to set back and rethink how we model the random effects through the production function. So what I'm going to suggest is a production function model that looks something like a base function, F of nit, phosphorus, and potash, plus a variational function, which is a difference that's a function of a random variable. And so, you know, the basic consequence here is that I can observe psi 1 and psi 3, and so because of that, I'm going to use a quantile regression to try to fess up what the true state space production function may look like. More tables, yuckity yuck. Okay, graphically, what I have here are the three functions. The blue function is the 25% quantile. The orange function is, or the red function is the 50, and the green is the 75. Now, this has some failures too. Basically, when I look at a function like this, one of the things important is where most of the areas of application are. So most of the areas of application are between, say, 35 and 50. And during that, in that range, we have a classic ranking between the quantiles of the production function. So there is a problem here of range of the input. But the idea is to try to get closer to the state spaces of the outcome once we have applied our function. So here's what I'll say. And just a second. Toshi is a student that would be at my lecture at this time of the day in Florida, so he's followed me down. So what am I going to say? I'm going to say that probably, and with reference to where we're giving this presentation, ag economists should probably recognize we've been dealing with an overly simplified view of the production process. Soils matter. We should recognize that and try to build it in, or at least recognize that it affects our sampling problem. Rainfall have impacts, and they interact with decisions in things like soil and soil composition. Now, there are different methods of removing these unobserved factors. They're kind of tried and true, and sometimes they even work. Random effects models typically work, but I don't think that they're giving me enough information that I want about the state space, the possibility of different outcomes. Okay, so the alternative is to allow, in some way, the production coefficients to change over state. And whether it's quantile or a Bayesian approach to parameterizing state space, the jury's still out on that. But what I'm saying is to model things like the wheat problem, where I want to know whether it's more beneficial to come up with something like an input augmenting technology or a risk reducing technology, that this is the only shot I can see having a true, you know, hope of working and addressing our problem set. Okay.